My beloved people, the epistle appointed to be read this morning for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, be imitators of me, and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is ruin, their God is the belly, their glory is in their shame, their mind the things of earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion the body of our lowliness, conforming it to the body of his glory by exerting the power by which he is also able to subject all things to himself. So then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast thus in the Lord, beloved. I entreat Evodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel. We have, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, behold, a ruler came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now a woman who for 12 years had been suffering from hemorrhage came up behind him and touched the tassel of his cloak, saying to herself, If I touch but his cloak, I shall be saved. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. And the woman was restored to health from that moment. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a din, he said, Begone, the girl is asleep, not dead. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this spread throughout all the district. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, just a couple of points from the bulletin. The calendars are here. There's no hurry. They are the same as they've always been in price. And you can see me or Father Francis when the time comes that you wish to get one of the calendars. There is a particular little notice in the bulletin this morning that I draw your attention to. If you look around outside the building, you will see some little green objects stuck in the ground. They are not, you know, things from outer space, but stay away from them. They're for termites, so leave them alone. Don't pull them up thinking they don't belong there. And tell the children to leave them alone. They're otherwise harmless, so don't worry about them as being harmful to the children. But just tell the children not to pull them up out of the ground. Today is the Sunday following, of course, All Souls Day. And just as we were able to earn the totius quotius indulgences last Tuesday, we can earn the totius quotius indulgences just as well today, all day long, until midnight. And I strongly urge you to make as many of these little visits as you possibly can. In our bulletins over the past few months, we have been talking about keeping the light of our faith from going out. And we are now getting to more specifics as time goes on as to what we are going to be able, what we should do about it, or what we're able to do about it to keep it from going out. Up till now, we have been giving reasons for this or that. And we have explored conditions for this or that. And we have noted that those of us who are really and truly anxious and determined to follow the faith to which we have a right to follow, and nobody can take that right away from us, and you know it. So, what are we going to do about it? And now in our bulletins, we are working our way into pointing out what we can do about it. And this morning's bulletin especially begins to focus itself on what we can do about it in our homes in preparation for our own living the faith as best we can. We here, as we have pointed out earlier, have, please God, the opportunity of a little church that we can go to with freedom and with right. But for most of us, even this little bit that we've got here is not easily available on a regular basis because we live, for so many of us live so far away, and we can't take the full advantage of living near a church. And so what do? We have to set up a situation in our own homes and in faith understand that Almighty God, in His charity, in His mercy, in His love, in His judgment, in His common sense, and everything about Him, understands the poverty, our poverty. Any of you who wish to duplicate any of these bulletins, to send them to whomever and wherever, please do so and explain the matter to them. If we do not have the advantages of living near a church as formerly we did, then we have to make the best of it we can and make substitutions. And Almighty God, in my faith and in my advice to you as a priest, I think I can say in safety that you would be totally amazed someday at what you can do today. Not on a regular basis, but today, with the conditions of today. Keep that in mind. With the conditions of today, right now, right this minute, with these conditions, my beloved people, I am sure that you can do wonders wherever you are. This month is a month dedicated to the poor souls. I sometimes think that many of us, even though we do have, and I do find outside, and what comes to us and to our attention from the outside, there is a strong devotion yet to the poor souls in purgatory. But even in this very strong devotion to the souls in purgatory that we notice, I have a feeling that most of us, most of mankind, have a difficulty in understanding that life after death, after that which we call death, continues. There is a slight difference, however. If we can just understand that little difference, and that makes all the difference in the world, actually. And that is, whereas we now, right now, at this moment, think that we see things clearly, that we understand things clearly, that we experience things clearly. Not so. When this life that is ours continues after that moment which we call death, a veil will be removed from in front of our eyes, from in front of our minds, from in front of our thoughts. And everything about us, really, will become more sensitive, more alert, more clear, more definite than we could possibly, at this present moment in our lives, are capable of comprehending. Life continues after death and continues to continue. But we will not be burdened, actually, and this, what we think so much of, which is really a burden, though we don't like to think of it as a burden. We'd rather think of it as wonderful. Well, of course it's wonderful. God made it to be wonderful. But it isn't the wonderful that we think it is. And it is a burden. And it keeps me in a cloud, always and always. And my sensitivities are really dulled by this, my body. But yet, anything that has to do with the continuation, my beloved people, let us cut that into our minds. Let us carve that into our thoughts, the continuation of my life. We don't want to think of it after that door closes forever upon this which is here and now. Last Tuesday, was an interesting day, a very interesting day. It was election day, wasn't it? And everybody but everybody was running around like mad doing that which was of consequence. Telephoning and calling and hauling and voting and voting and this and that and running and running and running and forecasting and doing all kinds. Oh, everybody was busy with things of consequence. Because the things of last Tuesday were truly things of consequence. For those who find it in the answers to their questions here in this present existence. And the thought occurred to me while I was making those, what you call them, those totius quotius things, you know? Whatever you mean by totius quotius. Heaven knows I don't know. And here in this place, I speak only right now just for the monks and the sisters. Here these men and these women were seen quietly, silently, devotedly, with eyes downcast, in no hurry, with calm in their hearts and in their demeanor, going in and out, and then back again, and out again, all during the day. What in heaven's name were they doing on such an important day as this, when they should be outside doing this, that, and the other? Look at what's supposed to be going on. Matters of great importance are taking place today and there. They're silently walking in and out. What on earth are they doing? Do you see how far off the base we really are? Every time, while Mr. So-and-so was going in to put an X because it was important for Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so to put an X in a certain spot because we're going to get this, that, and the other thing done. Oh yes, my X is, boy, this is important. Well, I'm doing this. The silent monks and the silent nuns, every time they went in to a church and spent a few minutes, they took, by the grace of God, they took someone, they know not whom, but someone from an existence of suffering. Picked that someone up and brought that someone up and placed that someone in the lap of their heavenly creator. My beloved people, can we understand what we're doing, what I'm talking about? How out of balance we totally are. How out of balance. When you put that little X on the balance to the picking up of a living soul, a living me, a living you, are you, are you, are you, or wherever you are, or whoever you are, and taking a living me out of my suffering to put me into the place of my eternal bliss. Good grief. Good grief. We do not comprehend, we do not understand the mystery of death. We don't really want to understand the mystery of death, because we are completely satisfied. We are completely satisfied with that which we now have in our hands. And we cannot put it into our thick skulls that not even the slightest thing that is in this hand right here, right now, not even the slightest particle of it belongs to me. And yet, how we fight over things. Only this morning, quite early, from the West Coast, imagine, I get a telephone call from someone that I have been receiving calls from for a long time. And within that particular unfortunate family, the battle, the unbelievable battle, the unbelievable struggle, the unbelievable warfare that exists between husband and wife and mother and daughter and father and wife and heart, the unbelievable struggle, because death has been involved, he died. Lawyers involved and everything else. Disowning involved and everything else. Hatred beyond description and everything else involved. Because of greed, money, and all they have, because, and there's lots of money involved, and all they have to their benefit is the suffering that crashed upon the heads of each and every one of them in that miserable, miserable miserable family. Unmindful completely that life continues as it does now, and that all of this that we're speaking of, this fighting and all, doesn't belong to any of us. Can we ever understand that? As is brought out into our bulletins, and I very carefully bring this out because there are people who misrepresent this and who might go out thinking that I am preaching the formation of monasteries in each and every one of your homes. No, indeed. Not at all. This is the monastery here for those of us who have willingly and freely come in here to dedicate our lives to this particular way. You and the lay people are not at all monastics. And you can only observe what has to be done from the viewpoint of a lay person who wishes to serve God in best possible way available, a way acceptable to God, every bit as acceptable as ours, every bit. But it requires work. You cannot wish to save your souls and go on from there. You've got to do something. All of us have to do something. There is a purpose. You were not put here for any other purpose than to save your immortal soul individually. That's all. You were not put here to become rich, to become powerful, to become popular, to become anything. You, God said, you belong to me. And nothing else will do. November is the month of the poor souls. And when we last Tuesday were making our little visits, we were doing something of the greatest imaginable consequence. The greatest. Outside of saving our own immortal souls. We cannot imagine, we cannot think, we cannot comprehend doing something, anything, whatever, a greater moment. When they asked the stupid question outside, to me particularly, we're often asked, well, what do you all do out there all day? And there's only one satisfactory answer that is given to them that will make them very happy, and they will go off and that we figured anyway. So what do you all do out there all day? And so my answer is nothing. And that pleases them completely. It makes them happy because they cannot envision something happening when I, in silence, walk into this church and stay 2 or 3 minutes and walk out again. They can't comprehend that. That's beyond comprehension. As I was told once, you should be outside making money. It doesn't make sense. So, your little chapels that I'm working, and it's going to become more detailed. Father Francis asked me the other day, will this ever come to an end? And I says, I'm not sure. In your little chapels, which is the best you've got, those of you that live far away from the church, or who don't have Mass on Sundays, or whatever, or able to go to communion on a daily basis, or whatever, there are all kinds of ways that we can give pleasure to the God who made us. And that's what we're working for, to put something into your homes, into the little sick room, the poor little lady who lives in goodness knows where, in the boondocks of no place, no priest, no church, no sacraments, no Mass, no nothing. We have got to bring God to that poor little soul. And believe me, as sure as I'm standing here in front of you, we can trust that what we're talking about will be. God will be there. That poor little person in a sick room, confined to bed, in the corner of her room, a church, a cathedral, in the corner of that poor little miserable room. No cathedral, no matter where, ever built. Will be as beautiful, as wholesome, and as tremendous, and as God-centered as that little nook in her bedroom with nothing but a broken-down crucifix and a chipped statue. That is for her or for him, where God in all of his majesty is present. Not sacramentally, of course, but that's where God is present, and that's what we are working for. And I want you to help me and help us as we work to bring this condition about. Pray for the poor souls in purgatory. The most you can give is still not enough. The best that we can hope for is that our lives are such that the day comes when at least I will be one. Don't, my beloved people, it doesn't matter what we did yesterday. Who is it in this room that can pick up the first stone? Who is it? And yet, as I've told you before, when that man who had all his life been a crook and a thief and whatever else, all he did was to turn his face at the last moment and say, Lord, when you come into your paradise, into your kingdom. Remember me. And everything else that that man had ever done, the worst imaginable, at that precise instant, was gone. And he said, yes, today you will be there. Good heavens.